And we're back with HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare for the Central New York community. I'm your host and every patient's advocate, Tricia Torrey, and I'm joined this morning by Rob Kochick. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Rob's the new executive director of the Finger Lakes Donor Recovery Network, which is based in Rochester, and you may wonder who's donating what, so we'll get to that part of our conversation in just a moment. Leanna Severance is also with us this morning. Good morning, Leanna.
Good morning.
Leanna is the associate nursing director for pediatrics at University Hospital, and she also works with donor services, but we're going to start, Rob, what kind of donations are we talking about here?
Actually, we're talking about organ and tissue donation.
Organ and tissue. So we're not asking for money.
We're not.
We're asking actually for something that's dearer than money in many ways, aren't we?
Exactly. What we're talking about are organs that can save lives and tissue donations that can save and enhance lives as well.
And those aren't things that money can buy. And
that's
why
right.
You have your job, isn't it? Why is it so important for people to donate organs?
Well, probably listeners will be surprised to know that just in our service area, just in the greater Finger Lakes area, there's about 1,000 patients today waiting for organ transplants.
Today?
Today.
Oh my gosh. Now, it's organ and tissue, and there's a difference, I understand. Tell me about that.
Okay. When we think about organ donation, and there's still lots of confusion about that, we're talking about the heart, the lungs, the liver, the kidneys, and the pancreas.
Okay.
For tissue donation, we're talking about eye donation that typically would be used for cornea transplants to help someone see.
Mm-hmm.
Other tissues that can be donated are skin, so that we can help burn victims and other kind of surgical procedures. We can donate bone from our legs, from our arms, from our hips, to help in patients that have suffered trauma or some kind of surgical orthopedic procedures that they need. Saphenous veins, the femoral veins from our legs, can be transplanted. And when the heart can't be donated, the heart valves can also be recovered. So maybe listeners have heard of someone who's had a mechanical heart valve,
right?
But the human valves are actually even a little bit better and don't have the same risk factors.
Wow. This is a great way to recycle body parts in effect, isn't it?
It is.
Who donates organs? Is it just the loved one of someone who's died? How, you know, who are they? Are they of a certain age? Who are these people who are donating organs?
Okay, well, probably, again, listeners will be surprised to know that almost anyone can donate either organs or tissues, and it really all depends on the circumstances of which someone dies.
I see. Can you describe that to us?
Sure. I would say a typical patient who is an organ donor that either our staff or Leanna's staff takes care of are patients who maybe wake up with a really awful headache, or maybe they're at work and they sort of say to a coworker, "Oh my gosh, I have the worst headache in my life." And they lose consciousness. The coworkers call the paramedics. They bring them to the intensive care unit, or the emergency room, rather, or the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they're immediately treated for a significant, really severe brain injury. And they're on a ventilator and they're in the intensive care unit. And doctors and nurses do everything that they can to save their life. And despite all of those efforts, then they're actually declared brain dead.
I see.
Those patients are patients that can donate organs.
Okay.
And can subsequently then also donate tissue. The difference being, in another scenario, let's say a patient, someone was involved in a car accident, and they either die at the scene or they die at the emergency room where their heart stops. Those patients, once someone's heart stops, they can't donate organs, with the exception of a couple circumstances, but they can donate tissue.
I see. All right, so now we're talking about people who have either become brain dead or have become heart dead. And this is kind of where you come in, right, Leanna? You're here in Syracuse at University Hospital. Are you the one dealing with the patients then?
The nurses could be. Okay. I also have affiliation with the pediatric intensive care unit, so sometimes we do get children in.
Children, right.
But the nurses and physician at this point do take care of the patients.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, we don't really, the nurses don't really know if the patient is going to be an organ donor or not. They're doing everything they can to save the patient.
I see. Now, is there a difference in how a patient is treated if they think that patient can be a donor?
Not really. What we're really trying to do is save the patient to give the best medical care possible.
Okay. And I would think that it would make sense to keep the patients alive as long as possible. That keeps the organs functioning and really ready for donors as well.
Yes, it's very important to maintain a high oxygen concentration. Their fluids and electrolytes are all in balance.
Ah, okay. Who gets the organs? How are they matched? Do they have to be matched by age or gender or color or blood type or anything else?
Okay. It's really multifaceted. Patients who need a transplant are seen at a transplant center like mm-hmm. University Hospital. And they then are listed on the national computer system. It's called the United Network for Organ Sharing. And the computer actually is in Richmond, Virginia.
I see.
And so...
And the abbreviation, that's called UNOS, am I right?
UNOS.
Yes. Okay.
UNOS, United Network for Organ Sharing. Mm-hmm. And I think probably everyone has heard about the list.
The list, yes.
And, you know, all the patients that are on the waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
Patients are listed according to blood type, according to their body size, and some other factors, including how sick they are.
Mm-hmm. And these are the patients, just to clarify, that will receive an organ or
exactly.
tissue when it becomes available.
Exactly.
All right.
So those are the patients that are on the list, and the transplant centers are the ones that put the patients on the list.
Okay.
Whenever, let's say, we're working with one of the patients here, who are as a potential donor, our staff comes in and evaluates to see what their medical condition is, what their past medical history and mm-hmm. social history is, and all the things that Leanna was talking about as far as what's their blood pressure been, what kind of medications are they on,
mm-hmm.
All those things. I'm sure we'll talk about what it's like to talk with families
yes.
about donation. But once we know that the patient is going to be a donor, we check what their blood type is, mm-hmm. we know how much they weigh and how tall they are, and we enter that information into the national computer system.
Okay.
And the computer then generates a list of patients that match that particular donor.
And those patients could be anywhere in the country then?
They could be anywhere in the country, but first priority is either to our local service area
uh-huh.
or to patients in New York State.
Okay.
The one thing that is confusing, though, is that the list changes based on each donor. So, Trish, I don't know what your blood type is, but...
A positive.
Okay. I'm A also. Leanna, do you know what your blood type is?
A also.
Okay. Oh,
great.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a good example.
Uh-huh.
If there's someone in their listening area who is an O blood type
mm-hmm.
and is waiting for a heart or a liver or kidney today, if all three of us were donors, we would not be able to donate to that patient.
So blood type is very important.
Blood type is important.
Mm-hmm.
Blood type A donors could donate to someone who's A or someone who's AB, but not to someone who's B or not to someone who's O.
I see.
So there isn't always a top of the list
mm-hmm.
because it really depends on that. Then, you know, we're all of different ages. We're all of different body size.
Right.
And so our organs could definitely match different patients.
I see. You mentioned children earlier.
Yes.
This is something you see hopefully not very frequently. But then children would donate to children, is that right?
Because of the size of the organs, usually that's what happens. It would be very hard to put an adult kidney into a two-month-old baby.
That's very true. That's very true.
But
go ahead.
And with that, parents of children, I think, you know, we all realize how tragic it is to lose a child.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it seems that parents of children are the ones who are more likely to donate, and they typically tell us that the reason that they want to donate is they know how hard it is to lose a child, and they want to prevent another family from going through that going through that same thing.
Absolutely. I want to talk about how the donations happen, because I think it's critical. Exactly how they take place, I think it's a huge part of decision-making for families to decide to donate an organ. Leanna, let's walk through the process a little bit. We'll begin with someone who maybe has been in a car accident. They get brought to the emergency room. What happens? How do you identify that person is a potential donor?
If they're critically injured or you think there's a potential that they won't survive the accident or the injury,
mm-hmm.
then they could be a potential donor.
All right. You call their family. The family comes in. They're in the waiting room. What happens?
one of the important things we tend to forget as healthcare providers, we're working very hard trying to save the patient, and we forget that there's a family out there waiting. Mm-hmm. And the longer they wait, the more anxious they get, the more nervous they get. And we forget to go out and update them and let them know the status and how things are going.
All right. But say you've updated them now, and you've given them the bad news that the person is dying, is probably not going to make it. What happens then?
At that point, we try to find the best person, and usually it's one of the organ donor folks, to come in and have a conversation with them about are they ready or can they make the decision, or has the patient expressed an interest in organ donation.
All right, but there's a difference, isn't there, in the kind of death? I mean, I yes. know there's a question about brain dead versus the body. Explain that one to me, because I'm not the medical person.
In a brain death situation, the patient has to have no brain activity.
All right.
And people tend to get confused because they see a heart rate, they see the ventilator moving, so it looks like someone's breathing.
Yeah.
But in essence, there's no brain function. The spirit is really gone from the patient. And the only reason that it looks like things are still working is that we have machines and medicines that make that part still work.
Right. So I'm a family member and I see my loved one lying there and I see that the heart is still beating and I hear that noise. How can you talk to me about donating organs because my loved one is still alive?
That's a very tricky situation, and that's the hard part, and that's where we have to try to educate people and get them to understand that brain death means there's no blood to the brain, there's no activity, and the brain's never going to function again.
I see.
That person really isn't there anymore.
I see. How can we make sure that our families know? We talk to them and tell them. How can we make sure that people in the hospital, you can't get a hold of my family, and I want you to know I'm to be a donor. What do you look for?
Donor card.
Okay.
Any healthcare proxies or any wishes that the patient might have had.
Okay. And you can designate so on your driver's license?
Correct.
There are cards you can carry. Rob, do you have a website where people can get more information?
Sure. Yes, we do. It's www.donorrecovery.org.
Okay. Very good. We'll make sure we put a link to the website and your 800 number as well on our HealthLink On Air website. Well, Rob Kochick and Leanna Severance, thank you so much for filling us in on organ donation, an important topic, a tough discussion to have.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Listeners, we do need to take a break now, but we will be back in just a few moments. This is University Hospital's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.